शिवा शिवा नमः शिवाय बाय स्वामी सुप्रियानंदा चिन्मया बाल कथा।
शिवा शिवा व्हाट डू यू हियर?
डिंग डोंग डिंग,
आई हियर स्वीट साउंडिंग बेल्स रिंगिंग फॉर मी।
शिवा शिवा व्हाट डू यू हियर?
I hear heartfelt hymns being sung for me.
Shiva, Shiva, what do you feel?
I feel cold milk and fresh water being poured on me.
Shiva, Shiva, what do you feel?
I feel cold chandan being smeared on me.
Shiva, Shiva, what do you smell?
Sniff, sniff. I smell fragrant flowers adorning me.
Shiva, Shiva, what do you smell?
Whiff. I smell the inspiring incense lit for me.
Shiva, Shiva, what do you taste?
Yum! I taste the delicious food prepared for me.
Shiva, Shiva, what do you see?
I see you reverently bowing before me.
Shiva, Shiva, what do you do?
I bless you today and always through and through. The end.
Amar Chitrakatha Stories, Garuda. Script, Kamala Chandrakant. Illustrations, C.M. Vithankar. Editor, Anant Pai. Read by Revati Rangarajan. Sage Kashyap, who had married 13 of Daksha's daughters, was the progenitor of the Devas and the Asuras, and much of the animal kingdom as well. One day, he decided to confer a boon each on two of his wives, Vinata and Kadru. I am going to perform a yagna for more offspring. This time you shall be the mothers.
I would like to be the mother of 1,000 mighty snakes.
And you, Vinata?
I would like to have 2 sons who will surpass Kadru's 1,000 snakes in strength and valor.
So be it. And Kashyap went away to prepare for the yagna. His son Indra, king of the Devas, came with the diminutive Valkhilya rishis and other celestial beings to assist him. Go with the rishis and fetch the fuel for the sacrificial fire. A little later, as Indra flew back carrying a heavy log single-handed,
look at those puny rishis struggling with a mere twig. Ha ha ha! Ho ho ho! His pride must be humbled.
So, later, as the sacrificial fire blazed forth with the consecrating ghee,
by the fruit of our penances may another Indra be born, mightier than the present one. Let him be capable of going anywhere at will, of mustering any measure of strength at will, and of assuming any form at will.
I'd better ask my father to intercede with the rishis on my behalf.
Oh, venerable one, you must save me from the wrath of the rishis.
After hearing the whole story, Kashyap spoke to the rishis.
O holy ones, the present Indra has been appointed lord of the heavens by Brahma. Let the Indra you create be lord of the winged creatures. Be gracious to him who bows before you.
The rishis relented.
So be it. Since this yagna is for offspring for you, accept the fruit of our actions.
When the yagna was over, Kashyap returned to Vinata and Kadru. You shall soon be the mothers of the sons you desire. And Kashyap returned to the forest and his meditation. Months later, Vinata brought forth 2 eggs and Kadru 1,000. Let us have them incubated separately in warm vessels. Years rolled by. The mothers waited anxiously for the eggs to hatch. Then one day,
Oh Vinata, my sons have burst open their shells. Come, see them. What about mine? How should I know?
For the first time in her life, Vinata felt the pangs of jealousy. She became impatient. I'll break open one of them. Perhaps my sons need help. So she broke open one of the eggs. To her horror, the lower half of the child inside was a lump of flesh.
Alas, what have I done?
The child pointed an accusing finger at her.
You shall pay for your impatience with slavery. But if you can be more patient with the other egg, my brother will deliver you from your bondage.
And the child ascended the skies to become the charioteer of Surya, the sun god.
Come back, my son. Don't leave me.
A few days later, when Vinata and Kadru were out one evening, they saw the celestial steed, Uchchaishrava, fly past.
Quick, Vinata, can you tell me the color of that horse?
It is white all over. I can lay a wager on it. I think it has a black tail. I'm willing to wager you my freedom on that.
Yes, let the loser become the other's slave. We'll go and examine the horse tomorrow. Let's go home now.
Kadru had second thoughts about the bet. Could I be wrong? Vinata was very confident. I must not become her slave. I must make the horse's tail appear black, even if it isn't. When they reached home, Kadru sent for her 1,000 sons.
Go, cover the tail of that horse and make it appear black. I must safeguard my freedom.
We'd better obey our mother. And if we don't, she might burn us all up. If we do, she might show us some special favor.
So they slithered out to do their mother's bidding. The next day, Vinata and Kadru set out to see the horse. Across the mighty ocean, they traveled to the abode of Uchchaishrava. There stood the horse, spotlessly white, but
its tail was black.
Vinata could not believe her eyes.
Impossible! How could I be mistaken?
You did not take care to ascertain the fact before making the wager. Come, my slave, you have work to do. Meanwhile, at home, Vinata's second son broke his shell and emerged into the world. Capable of changing his form at will, he increased his size and soaring into the skies flew across the ocean to his mother's side. Vinata shed tears of joy when she saw him.
Mother! Ah, my son! My powerful son! You shall relieve me of much of my burden.
At that moment, Kadru came there with her sons.
Oh, Vinata, my sons and I wish to visit the pleasure island of the Nagas in the midst of the ocean. Take us there.
Vinata took Kadru on her shoulder and turned to her son.
Dear one, please take the snakes on your back.
Vinata's son was perplexed. Are we their slaves? Why does my mother demean herself so? Enraged, he increased his size. Suddenly rose into the air and flew towards the sun. The snakes were alarmed.
Mother, help! Oh, mother, save us! We are being scorched! Ah, ah, ah!
My sons, he's out to destroy my sons!
Without wasting another moment, Kadru began praying to Indra.
Oh, Lord of Shachi, O King of the heavens, save my sons with your life-giving showers. O best of devas, you are my only refuge.
The clouds at Indra's command suddenly darkened.
Oh, benevolent deva, you've heard my prayers.
Indra has favored them. I'll descend now and take them to the island.
Kadru heaved a sigh of relief. Ah, the son of Vinata is forced to descend. My sons are safe. Come, Vinata, be quick. Take me to the island. We will await our sons there. Later on the island. My sons, you're safe. Come, let us explore the island. Mother, why must we do the bidding of the snakes? I was the victim of their deception. Once, before you were born, and Vinata told him the story about the wager and how she had lost it. When she ended her tale, her mighty son went to the Nagas. I wish to buy our freedom. What is your price? Amrit. Bring us Amrit and you're free. When Vinata heard of the bargain, go, my son, may success be yours. May the Devas protect you. The son of Vinata spread out his wings and rose to the skies. As he flew towards the abode of the Devas, he heard a voice. My son, are you doing well? How is your mother? It was Sage Kashyap. My mother is well, so am I. I'm on my way to secure Amrit and buy our freedom. Father, where can I find enough food to increase my energy? Kashyap pointed to a lake in the distance. Down there, you will find a huge tortoise and an elephant. They are bent on killing each other. Eat them and proceed on your mission. I shall do as you say, father. The son of Vinata flew towards the lake, swooped down on the animals, and seizing one in each claw, soared into the sky. I must find a strong tree on which I can perch and devour my prey. At last, he saw an old banyan tree on the seashore. It beckoned to him with its branches. O great bird, come and sit on the strong arm of mine and enjoy your feast. But alas, the moment the great bird alighted on the branch, it trembled and broke. The mighty son of Vinata looked down. Why? There are some rishis hanging from it. They must not be harmed. And before the branch could come crashing down, he caught it. The rishis were amazed by his speed and strength. May this great bird be called Garuda. Garuda flew slowly onward. I must find a place where I can alight gently to let the holy ones continue their meditation undisturbed. Suddenly, the peaks of the Gandhamadana mountains. As soon as Garuda landed, the rishis left the bow. Let us go to the Himalayas and pursue our vocation. Then, flying over an uninhabited summit, Garuda let the huge branch fall from his beak. At last, I can perch on that peak and eat my prey in peace. His meal over, Garuda resumed his flight to the abode of the Devas. Meanwhile, various evil omens began to appear in Indra's heaven. Such terrible things have never happened before. Not even during the famous war between the Devas and Asuras. A frightened Indra, along with other Devas, went to Brihaspati, their guru. O revered one, what do these bad omens mean? Garuda, the invincible son of Kashyap and Vinata, is on his way to rob you of the nectar of immortality. And he can do it. Indra took leave of Brihaspati and went to warn those who guarded the nectar. A giant bird of tremendous strength and energy is on his way to rob us of our Amrit. Stop him! As Indra stood watching, the chief of the guards gave orders. Put on your armor. Pick up your favorite weapons. Take your position around the fire in this formation. And the Devas with their king awaited Garuda's arrival, fully prepared to beat him back. A few minutes later, Garuda came. The skies were dark with the dust raised by his flapping wings. Courage! My Devas, fight him! But Lord, we can't see him. It's the dust. It's blinding us. Indra turned to the god of the winds. O Vayu, dispel the shower of dust. Abate the storm. Only you can do it. Vayu drew in his breath and with one large puff blew away the dust. Ah, there he is. Attack him. Don't spare even a single feather. As Garuda hovered above them, the Devas attacked him with their double-edged broadswords, spiked iron maces, pointed lances, and many a discus. For a while, Garuda humored the Devas and let their weapons graze his body. Then, with a mighty roar, he attacked. Overcome by the onslaught, the Devas began to flee in all directions, the blood flowing copiously from their mangled bodies. Ah! Ah! Apasepta was right. The mighty bird is invincible. Let us flee while we can. Having dealt with the Devas, Garuda now had to tackle the wall of fire around the pot of Amrit. These terrible flames seem to be bent on burning Surya himself. I will have to put them out before I venture any further. Capable of changing his form at will, Garuda assumed 90 times 90 mouths, filled them with waters of several rivers, and subdued the wall of fire. Then, with a roar of triumph, he rushed forward through the smoke and came to a sudden halt. A revolving wheel with a sharp edge of fine tempered steel stood between him and the pot of Amrit. As his gaze fell on the pot below the wheel, he saw two poisonous serpents, their tongues darting in fury, their blazing eyes ever watchful, standing guard over it. Garuda was unperturbed. In an instant he reduced his size, slid under the wheel, and began flapping his wings, incessantly throwing up dust. And before the blinded serpents knew what was happening, they were killed. Garuda then snatched the pot of Amrit and suddenly began to grow, shattering the wheel into a million pieces with the force of his action. With a cry of triumph, he rose into the sky. As he flew along, Vishnu saw him. His act of self-denial pleases me. He has the nectar of immortality in his possession, but has not touched a drop of it. Not even the Devas could have resisted the temptation. Oh, great one, I wish to grant you two boons. Then let me be above you, and let me be immortal and ever free from disease. So be it. Now please go and perch on my flagstaff. As soon as Garuda sat on the flagstaff, even so will you sit above me. Garuda was pleased. Oh, great one, I too shall grant you a boon. Then be my vehicle, O mighty Garuda. I will, as soon as I fulfill my mission. After taking leave of Vishnu, as the elated Garuda flew on, Indra, who had caught him up, hurled his thunderbolt at him. O king of the Devas, your mighty weapon has not harmed even one of my feathers. Indra was amazed. O greatest of birds, I want to know the limit of your strength. I also want eternal friendship with you. Let there be friendship between us as you desire, and now that you are my friend, I'll tell you how strong I am. I can bear on one of my feathers this earth with her mountains, forests, and oceans, and you. My strength is such that I can carry without fatigue all the worlds put together with their animate and inanimate objects. Indra was impressed. Accept my sincere friendship, and you have no use for the nectar, return it to me. Those to whom you wish to give it will always oppose us. I cannot return the nectar, but I can help you retrieve it. And Garuda told Indra how he could do it. Indra was pleased. Accept from me any boon that you want. Wasn't my mother's slavery caused by the deception of the wicked sons of Kadru? Then henceforth let snakes become my natural food. So be it, my friend. And Garuda flew home. Here is Amrit for you. I will place it on this kusha grass while you go for your ablutions before tasting it. Let my mother become free from this moment as I have done your bidding. Your mother is free. We will soon be back. You may go. As planned, immediately they left the scene. Indra came there and took away the pot of Amrit. And from that day onwards, Vinita was freed forever from bondage. The end.
Folk Tales of Japan. The Three Good Luck Charms.
Story retold by Hema Pandey. Illustrations Ram Vairkar. Editor Anant Pai. Read by Revati Rangarajan. The Three Good Luck Charms. It was a lovely day. A little boy monk looked out of the monastery window.
Oh, how I long to go outside and gather chestnuts.
Saying his prayers and finishing his work quickly, he ran to the old monk.
May I go and pick chestnuts today?
No, you mustn't go out. What if the mountain witch catches you?
Oh, please let me go.
All right, go if you must.
But take these three pieces of paper. They are good luck charms. If you run into any trouble, ask them to help you. The boy monk roamed the mountain slopes and then wandered farther and farther away from the monastery.
What a lot of chestnuts I've picked!
Suddenly,
little boy, you are from the temple monastery, aren't you?
It was an old woman.
Come along with me. There are much better chestnuts growing in my garden. I'll roast the big juicy ones and boil the tiny ones for you.
That sounds nice.
The old woman took the boy monk to her house and gave him the promised treat.
They are delicious, but I can't eat any more. You must be sleepy. Sleep here tonight. You can go back to the monastery tomorrow.
The boy monk got under the quilt and was soon fast asleep. At midnight, he suddenly awoke.
It's raining.
He ran back to bed.
The raindrop seemed to be saying something.
Pitter-patter, look and see, the old woman seems a witch to me. Pitter-patter, look and see, the old woman seems a witch to me.
The boy monk peeped out from under the quilt.
The old woman?
There she is.
What is she doing?
How beautiful I am. How long and sharp my horns have grown.
It's the mountain witch.
She'll eat me up. I must escape in the morning.
The boy monk lay as still as a stone. In the morning,
Old woman, I want to have a wash.
It's still cold for a wash. Stay where you are.
But old woman, I must have a wash. I must. I simply must.
Oh, bother. How much you trouble me. All right, go. But I'll tie this rope round your waist.
Now I must be quick. Then he took out a good luck charm.
When the mountain witch calls out, answer for me.
And the boy monk tiptoed out of the back door and ran off like the wind. While the mountain witch waited.
Hurry up, haven't you finished?
Wait a little.
The mountain witch waited and waited.
How long you take? Come out, now.
Wait a little, just a little.
At last, she got tired of waiting and kicked open the door.
What? He's gone? I've been tricked. But I'll catch you still.
The witch soon caught up with the boy monk. But he brought out another good luck charm.
Be a high sand mountain.
Whoosh!
Up the sand mountain went the witch. She slipped and sank and shouted, but finally reached the top.
Wait, I'm going to eat you up.
The boy monk ran on and on, and when he could see the monastery in the distance, he flung up his last charm.
Be a big river.
Splash.
Whoosh.
The witch tried to swim as fast as she could, but the waves pushed her back. Slish, slosh, slish, slosh. Till the boy monk reached the monastery.
Save me, sir. Save me. The mountain witch is after me.
Quick, get into the cupboard. Soon,
where is that miserable boy? I'll eat him for breakfast.
Oh, the boy monk? He went off to pick chestnuts yesterday. He hasn't come back yet.
Lies, lies. Tell me where he is.
I told you, he's not here.
Arrah, my rice cakes are burning.
Rice cakes?
The witch's huge nose twitched greedily. Sniff, 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 sniff.
I love rice cakes. Give me one, old monk.
I'll give you as many as you want. But first you must let me test your magic powers.
Anything. Ask me to do anything.
All right then. How big,
big, big, big can you be?
This I want to see. This I want to see.
Zoom!
The witch grew so tall that she touched the sky.
Good, good.
Now show me how small, small, small you can be. This I want to see. This I want to see.
Zoom!
The witch shrank till she was no higher than the fire tongs.
Can you get any smaller?
The witch shrank further. Aha! You are now as small as a soya bean. The old monk quickly put the witch between two golden rice cakes and popped them into his mouth. And that was the end of the mountain witch. To this day, village children in Japan sing a song while picking chestnuts. The mountain witch is dead and gone. So now we may gather chestnuts happily this lovely autumn day. Crispy and juicy chestnuts. Go, crunch, crunch, crunch. The wise old monk has gobbled up the mountain witch for lunch.
Thank you.